Welcome to Existence, Moments in Time. I'm Andrew Hiller. This is an old story. Well, not a very old story. I met Rabbi Sunny Schnitzer about 7 years ago. At that point, he'd been working with Cuba and actually struck a deal with Castro to be allowed into the island nation to teach the Jews there how to be Jewish again. You see, the nation was moving from an atheist to a secular state, and for the 10,000 Jews living in Cuba, there was suddenly an opportunity to rebuild cemeteries, synagogues, learn songs, dances, the Hebrew language, and discover their heritage. It's a work that continues to this day, as in the summer of 2017, Rabbi Schnitzer and a group from the Bethesda Jewish congregation made an emergency trip to Cuba to help out. This isn't that story, but it is a story which tells of their work.
Why Cuba indeed?
Bethesda Jewish Congregation Rabbi Sunny Schnitzer.
Back in 2002, when I first came to this congregation, we were looking for a social action project. And I said, you know, we need to have a social action project that one has some cachet, that people say, wow, Bethesda Jewish Congregation, they do X. And we needed something that had a human face, that it wasn't just a matter of fundraising, that we'd be able to go and actually work with communities we were assisting. Somebody said, what about the Jews of Cuba? And I said, there are Jews in Cuba.
In fact, there are about 1,500 Jews living today in Cuba, and though that number represents growth in the population, it is far removed from the 15,000 who lived there before the 1959 revolution.
In America, it's very easy to be Jewish. You just say, okay, I want to go to the nearest synagogue. I want to go to a Jewish school. I want to do something that's culturally Jewish. And because it's so easy, I think so many American Jews don't. In Cuba, vida es no fácil. Life is not easy. And so to take the time, energy, effort, money even sometimes, to travel to where there's something Jewish going on, to be a part of this incredibly inspiring Jewish community, is a big deal.
BJC congregant Israel Gote's family emigrated from Cuba. He says that for many years, it was difficult to be a Jew and have a place in Cuban society.
Most Jews didn't go to the synagogue, you know, stayed away from religion, things of that nature. They knew that they were Jewish. They knew that their grandmother had a masseuse on the door. They knew things like that, but there was no training, no education.
Rabbi Schnitzer says the recovery process didn't start with a prayer, but a dance.
It was a wonderful way for people just through dance to experience Yiddishkeit, to experience a little bit of Jewishness in an easy way that didn't require Hebrew language. It was just dancing and singing. So we do dancing, we do singing. We have meals with the community. We don't just stop in, say hi for an hour or two, leave a few boxes of medicine and leave. We go and spend real time with folks. We know families. We have watched kids grow up. And we always have services together on Friday and Saturday.
This is the BJC's fifth trip to Cuba. Israel Gote.
Well, the primary thing that we do in Cuba is to visit the different Jewish communities that are in Cuba. On the island, there's about 1,500 to 1,600 Cuban Jews left, and they're broken up into about 9 communities.
Rabbi Schnitzer.
This year, we obtained a trilingual siddur, which is in Hebrew, Spanish, English, and transliterated Hebrew, so it's in Roman characters, so that if you don't know Hebrew, you can still say the words, the ancient words that link all Jews together throughout the world, and yet right on the same page, there is what the words mean in the language you understand.
Besides religious text, the mission provides material support ranging from toothpaste to building supplies. Congregants say going to Cuba has been life-changing. Mission member Judy Scott.
This is my second trip to Cuba, but my first time in Santiago. I came last year and really felt that I had to come back because the Cuban people really touched my soul.
Israel Gote.
I also translate the sermons from English to Spanish and transliteration of Hebrew and Spanish.
So you're a human Rosetta Stone.
Not quite. I'm not that good. I wish my Hebrew was better than what it is, but I can say the shame on Hebrew and a couple of other things.
Still, no choreography is learned without a few falls.
We had an incident in our first trip because of my ignorance. We held a Shabbat morning service, a Saturday morning service, in a hotel ballroom because there was no synagogue in Sancti Spiritus.
The city of Sancti Spiritus is located in central Cuba.
And so we rented this room, not realizing that having religious services in a place other than a church or synagogue or in someone's home, in other words, a public space, was not legal. And so on our second trip to Cuba, I was stopped at the airport and asked, what are you doing here? Why are you going there? Where are you going? Who are you going? And I realized that for a year, the Cubans had been waiting to talk to me about the fact that I had actually broken the law.
But even when Cuba was at its worst, Cuba was still just a little bit kosher.
Ah, you refer to the kosher butcher shop. It was very interesting. When the small businesses in Cuba were nationalized in the early 1960s, the Cuban Jewish community went and received an audience with Premier Fidel Castro. And they said, we need this kosher butcher shop because the meat that most Cubans eat is pork, and we don't eat pork. We only eat beef or chicken by religious law. So we would like to have permission from the government to maintain this small kosher butcher shop. And to everyone's delight, Fidel Castro said yes.
Still, it wasn't always so easy. Many synagogues were closed or converted for other uses. This year, the BJC had a hand in the construction of a Jewish community center in Santa Clara. It is the first new building designed to serve the Jewish community since the Cuban Revolution of 1959. Jose Barlia Loyarte, president of the Sancti Spiritus Jewish community.
There were many families that knew they had Jewish roots, but they were not practicing Judaism. We would like to continue our traditions here and to plant the seed so that those traditions can be maintained.
And while Rabbi Schnitzer says he has seen big changes in Cuba, it's the stuff American Jews take for granted that matters most.
In the provinces, our Saturday morning service, the Shacharit it's called, in those towns they have no one who can read Hebrew or read the Torah, the scroll of the five books of Moses. And so when I visit there, we have a Saturday morning service where traditionally one reads the Torah. It's the only time annually the Torah is read in those towns. And I have watched grown men cry in Cuba to hear the words of Torah chanted again in Hebrew in their home.
Thanks to the efforts of many, Jewish prayers and songs are being heard again in Cuba. And despite the fact that the singers may not always be in tune, there seems to be a growing harmony. Thank you for listening to Existence Moments in Time. To listen to other segments or to hear this one again, please go to existence.com. If you want to tell your own personal or family story, please contact us, or you can build your own on our site. Once again, for Existence, Moments in Time, I'm Andrew Hiller.